This afternoon's title is A Fight to the Finish, and I'm just going to take a look at Ephesians 6. I'm going to read it out to you in the Message translation now, because if you're anything like me, you might just need to read it a couple of times through to really get it into your mind. So this is the Message translation. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything that the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And then, of course, Paul goes on to say, and please pray for me too, which I think is really wonderful, because that's a reminder to me that it's always good to ask for prayer. None of us don't need prayer. Even when things may be going well for us as well, let's ask for prayer. Let's not be afraid to say when we just need a little bit of support and some prayer. So this is about standing firm in the faith and standing firm to the finish, despite what the devil may throw at us and the dominion of darkness. I love how the Message translation puts it. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So we know that we're in this fight. And here, just to give you a bit of historical context, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and at this time, they're undergoing persecution. It's not horrendous persecution, but they're talking about Jesus in a society which is dominated by the worship of Diana. Diana's temple, the main worship of Diana is in Ephesus at this time, and everything that happens in Ephesus has to do with Diana. Now, the sort of things that went on with worshipping Diana are what we these days would call occult practice. And it was clearly a place that was a hive of satanic activity. And the church was up against this all the time. So this becomes incredibly relevant to them in Ephesus. So in this context, people knew that there was more than a finite world around them. There was more to what they could see and touch. And they had very much an awareness of a spiritual realm. So Paul is not talking about a fight against people. This is a fight against the devil, against the dominion of darkness. So what's the dominion of darkness? Well, it's the opposite to the kingdom of Jesus. In one realm, we're praying for the kingdom of God to come, but the other realm, the kingdom of God is ignored. So Paul makes it clear that this fight is constant. We're in a constant battle all the time. We're up against it all the time. If we think that things are going to get easier, don't get your hopes up too much. We're in a fight, and this is a fight to the finish. And you know, similarly, as they were in that time, in this time in the culture that we live in today, we're up against it. There are things in the culture today that surrounds us that are just acceptable and normal, and everybody does it. It's just a way of life that's normal to the people around us. And Paul here, he's talking to the church about being countercultural, about being different to everybody else around them. He's talking about what it takes to navigate your way through what can feel like the battlefield of life. Verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And this word that's actually used for be strong, it actually means to receive strength, to be strengthened, to be empowered. And Paul's point here is that without God's help, we can't really be strong. Without the armour of God, without what he provides for us for the fight, we can't actually stand firm. So we need to take all the help that we can get. It is God that we turn to. When things are difficult, where do we go? What's our first thing? You know, when something goes wrong in our day, do we just text our best friend straight away? Is that how we do? We just have a quick vent to somebody. I know sometimes that's something I might do. I might think, oh, I'm just going to text this person and let them know about this drama that's happened. But do you know what? The very first thing that we can do is pray. We can turn to God and just say, God, help me, because he wants to help us, and he will, and he'll help us to stand firm, and he'll help us to be all that he wants us to be and to be countercultural. And we can receive that strength if we ask for it, if we spend time with God. You know, to receive something from somebody, you've got to be in contact with them. So if we want to be strengthened, we have to be in communion with God. We have to spend time with him. You know, everyone has their different ways of praying and different routines that can help them. For me personally, I remember a particular season of my life where 5 minutes before I left the door, I would just sit there for 5 minutes and I would just speak in tongues for 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes was just a wonderful strengthening time, and I was able to walk out the door and just thought, yeah, I can face this. I know this is going to be a difficult day, but God's with me, and it just helped so much. And you know, even if you only have 5 minutes in your morning, why not try just listening to God? Just take 5 minutes silence and just let him strengthen you, let him give you some help and some comfort and some strength for the day that you face. God's word is our indispensable weapon. So what do you think that means that we need to do? We need to be reading our Bibles, getting it into us. I know I've mentioned this before, but there's a great app. Who has the YouVersion app? Woo, yeah, okay. So I love YouVersion. There's lots of great Bible apps out there. If you don't know of any, download YouVersion. On there you can, you know, get the Bible read aloud to you. If you're struggling to sleep at night, you know, put on some David Suchet. David Suchet's voice is on there. I absolutely love his voice. I'm such a fangirl of his voice. Sorry, it's just so relaxing and amazing and therapeutic. But why not do that? If you're struggling, just, you know, put your Bible on audio if you don't feel like reading. Speak God's word. Read it aloud. Post scriptures around the house. You know, put the word of God on your wall. Keep it in your face all the time. You know, surround yourself. Fill your mind with the word of God. And let's not be afraid of speaking it to the people around us. Let's not be afraid of bringing the Bible up, you know, and bringing up a relevant verse in a situation that we're in and sharing it with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. So we need to stand firm. The Cambridge Commentary for Schools and Colleges puts it this way: holding of the fortress of the soul and of the church for the heavenly king. Holding of the fortress of the soul and of the church for the heavenly king. If anybody knows what they're talking about here or understands what this fight is, it's Paul. He'd been imprisoned, shipwrecked, he'd gone through all kinds of difficulties, and he continued to stand firm. And you know, we read how people have suffered for their faith, you know, and they didn't give up, they just kept from going, they stood firm. And God is asking us to stand firm in the society that we live in today, to keep fighting, to keep standing up for justice, for what is true, to keep speaking God's word, and to keep making a daily choice to be holy, to be set apart for God. So Paul continued to do what God had called him to do, despite any attack of the devil and despite the challenges that surrounded him. He understood that he could only do it with the help that he received from God. And I want to encourage you today, church, don't give up. When it feels like everything is going against you and you think, this is just too much for me, you know, don't be afraid. And remember that God is with us. We said, or my dad said a few weeks ago when we were singing that new song, Surrounded, about how in 2 Kings 6, the chariots surround Elisha, and Elisha's servant sees this huge army and he comes to Elisha in a real panic and he's like, what are we going to do? These guys are surrounding us. And Elisha just prays that God would open the eyes of the servant, and his eyes are opened and he sees all the angels around. And it says that greater are with them than are with their enemy. In fact, it actually says those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And you know, in our sight today, we might think, even in our workplaces, I'm so outnumbered here. Dare I say anything about Jesus? You know, dare I continue to be different, to be so countercultural? But God is with you. You know, his angels surround us. And let us not be discouraged by what we see through our eyes, because there is more going on than what we just see with our eyes. You know, I think of Daniel 6 in the lion's den and how God shut the mouths of the lions, even when Daniel was in that situation where he was surely defeated. You know, Sandra, that's amazing how you shared that today. You know, the Holy Spirit is obviously with us. I'd not mentioned anything about this title to Sandra today, but I loved how you mentioned Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And you know, it might feel like it's the end for us, but God is with us. And you don't know what he's doing, what he's doing behind the scenes. You might feel hugely outnumbered. You might feel like you're being attacked. But God is with you and he can bring you safely through. Even when you think, how am I going to survive this? You know, how am I going to cope with all of this that is going on? But God can bring you through. And you know, despite the challenges that the apostles faced, they never stopped proclaiming the good news. They never stopped. So may we never stop proclaiming the good news. Acts 5:42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So let's not quit when times get hard, when all kinds of things may come our way. 2 Corinthians 4, since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. Does anybody feel like that this afternoon? You've been thrown down, but you've not been broken. Is anybody else excited and blessed that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, that no matter what comes against us, we'll stand firm in the strength that God gives us? It goes on to say, what they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. One of the things I loved about the wedding yesterday was how my dad just reminded us in that wedding service how grateful we can be that we can express our faith freely in this country. And he reminded us about the sacrifice that many people across the world give just for being a Christian. They lose their life. And what a powerful wake-up call that was, maybe to some people in the building. So I thought that was great. But I'm slightly biased. I thought my dad was amazing yesterday, but I won't embarrass him. So Paul knew what it was like to be in a fight. He was well qualified to be writing this. You know, times were tough. He was mocked, demoralized, but he stood firm. God is on our side, people. So be encouraged. If you're feeling discouraged today, just take a moment, take a deep breath, and just remind yourself that God is with you, and that with what we face today, we're more than conquerors. So we can stand firm in times of difficulty too. We might not be in exactly the same situation that Paul was, but we will experience the fiery arrows of the devil and his attempts to deceive us. There's still a dominion of darkness. Paul is specifically referring to the schemes of the devil, who wants to take us down and throws all kinds of fiery arrows our way, like a lion on the prowl waiting to devour us. So we need to continue to resist the devil. We need to keep on guard. And the Bible tells us to watch and to pray and to guard our minds and hearts. Because the reality is, we need to make a choice to clothe ourselves in the armour, because we're not immune to discouragements or disillusionments. We can be vulnerable to the lies of the enemy and to the darkness. And that is exactly why we need to make sure that we're clothing ourselves in our armour. Be encouraged, because we can be strong in the power that comes from the Lord, and nothing else gives us that same ability to overcome. So we need to get our armour on. And Paul makes it really clear that we're active participants in this battle, that we have to actually make a choice to put on the armour of God. It's not optional. So it's crucial that we make a choice to do this, and that might be a daily choice for us. So what is the armour? Well, I want to talk about the helmet of salvation, because God wants to help us stop the devil from getting into our minds. And that's why we have a helmet of salvation, because we don't have to give in to the enemy's lies. And the enemy wants to target our minds. He wants to get into our heads. And here are some of his lies. You'll never make it through this. You'll always be an addict. You're worthless. You have no real value. Nobody will ever love you. God's forgotten about you. Well, maybe ignore this part of the Bible because, you know, that's changed now. It's not relevant anymore. Well, God says this, but, you know, I'd be worried if I were you. You'll never be able to change. You can never beat this. You're too weak. Give up now. You know, the enemy can say some things like that. He can give us some subtle whispers in our ear too, and he can get into our heads. He can say to us, you know, everyone else is doing it. God won't mind. You know, God's all about grace, so you can just do what you want because he'll forgive you anyway. Or he might even say things like, you know, look what you've done. You've destroyed your destiny. You've messed up your life and you'll never be forgiven. You know, we have to make a choice to guard our mind and to fight the devil's lies. But it's more than just not giving in to his lies. It's about protecting and looking after our minds so that we are able to stand firm. And God wants us to protect our thought process, because the devil attacks our thought life, which is why we wear the helmet of salvation. And we need to stay focused on the word of God, to remember that it is true, to make a daily choice to actively fix our minds on God. Because there's all sorts around us that turns our thoughts away from God. And we have to make that active effort to stay focused on God and who he is. You know, we see all this stuff, don't we? Around us on the street and on social media, there is so much that can pollute our thought process and our minds. But we have to have faith in God and his word and his promises so that we can have strength for the battle and to resist. You know, just a couple of God's promises that we can stay focused on are pretty amazing enough. The promise of eternal life. You know, things might be difficult in our lives here, but we'll go to a place where there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. Amen. Eternally. Isn't that something to encourage us to stay focused in the fight? When you're exhausted and you think, I'm at the end of my rope. I want to encourage you, turn to God for strength, because you can keep on fighting. And even if it's hard, you know, King David, I look at his life, and it was filled with fighting and with turmoil. it really wasn't that glamorous, really, was it? It was filled with fighting, but he turned to God for strength. And I just want to encourage you, just keep turning to God for strength and just keep reminding yourself about that promise of eternal life and that we are building our treasure in heaven, not on this earth. So stay focused on God's promises. One thing that I've done in the past that has really helped me, and I would recommend it to anyone, is keeping a little diary of words. So obviously, you know, stay focused on your Bible. But prophetic words that people have given me that have so encouraged me. I have one from Jayam and one from Sandra in that book. And you know, sometimes if I feel discouraged, I look at that and I remember, yeah, I remember God said this. And it just really helps encourage me a bit sometimes. And I would encourage you, you know, if you need to write some things down, write them down. If you need to have a set scripture that you read every morning for a week or 2 weeks, just to encourage you, build up your spirit, then do it. You know, keep filling your head with the promises of God, because there is so much for us to be thankful for. There is so much for us to rejoice over. And you know, when I think of Paul, how he praised God in prison, you know? He was praising, even in that dark situation, he had joy, you know, he was filled with joy. And so even in our dark and difficult battles, we can still experience the joy of the Lord. And let's keep praising in the battle, because praise precedes victory. So I want to go back to Genesis now and just mention how the serpent or the devil in the fall speaks to Eve. And you know, we don't have time to look at it all this afternoon, but he sort of says these things, doesn't he? Like, you will certainly die, for God knows, in verse 5, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And he persuades Eve to do wrong and convinces her. And sometimes the devil can get into our head like this and you know, persuade us to make a bad choice or a wrong decision. And this is why it's so important for us to guard our minds. And if you've made some bad choices today and you feel bad, then I want to encourage you, there is forgiveness. And God's arms are always open to us. But you know, all we have to do is give that whisper attention like Eve did. All we have to do is listen to the devil speaking to us. And you know, the devil there, he didn't have to use any force, did he? It was just a whisper. So let's guard our minds. We have to daily be choosing to listen to what God is saying. There are spirits out there that want to deceive us and attack us. There are wolves, there are false prophets, and there are lots of con men around. So take time to listen to God. Let his voice be the loudest voice in your life. Make sure you can recognize that voice and that you know his voice above everything. Take that time, spend that time, if it means closing your door, if it means switching your phone off, switch your phone off, close the door and get on your knees and pray, and you'll have a great experience with God. When we look at what happens here in Genesis with Adam and Eve, the damage that happens when we take our eyes off, or even for a moment forget what God has said and forget what we know of him and his nature, is great. If they'd have really thought about God, you know, is God not good and he loves us, we know he loves us. If they'd have really thought of that, then surely they wouldn't have been deceived. So let's keep remembering how God loves us and who he is. Let's know who he is, what his promises are. You know, it's like when you hear a little tittle-tattle and sneakily the devil works to deceive us. Eve knew really clearly what God's instructions were. She'd heard them, and yet she was still deceived. And this is why we must constantly be reminding ourselves of the truth. Even when things are going really well for us, let's keep reminding ourselves of who God is. She was with God all the time. How could she forget? God walked with them. So it does show us that even when we think everything is going great, we can still be deceived. It's not just when things are going really bad. The devil is on the prowl and ready to deceive us. He wants to get us. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So even our own heart is deceitful. Our default position is to deceive ourselves, which is why we need to keep going back to what God says. The Message translation puts it, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. So we need to take a hold of our thought life, guard our mind. What are the thoughts that we're letting in? What are we allowing to influence our thoughts? What words have been spoken over us that we're allowing to take control? Are we doubting God's word? Because it's up to us whether we let those thoughts continue or not. We have a responsibility with our minds. Nobody else can look after our minds for us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We are the guardian of our minds. Paul is saying we have to put on the helmet of salvation because it's not our default position. We don't wake up in that frame of mind. To be putting up on our helmet of salvation, we need to be renewing our mind. It's a daily choice that we make. Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So it starts with the renewing of our mind. The Message translation, there it says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." That's the Message translation of Romans 12. So let us not become so well adjusted to our culture that we fit into it without even thinking. Our attention needs to be fixed on God, and this is a choice that we have to constantly make. What is it God is saying to me today? What is it that he wants me to do? What is it in his word that I'm reading today that is speaking to me? You know, we let the truth of God's word wipe out anything contrary to it in our mind. That's how we renew our minds. We actively fix them on the word of God. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things." King David, in Psalm 119:15-16, he says, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your words. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." One thing that I love when we read the Psalms is that King David, he goes through all these battles and these difficulties, the physical battles that he goes through. And sometimes at the start of the Psalm, he'll be saying, you know, I think it's Psalm 54 where he mentions, you know, "I'm overcome with sorrow and my pillow's soaked with tears." And he's speaking like this and he's so, you know, he's had enough. And then it'll be, say something like, "But I think of what you have done for me," or "But I remember, you know, who you are. I remember your kindness," or, you know, he'll say these things. And each time he makes a mental decision, he goes through this mental process where he will kind of express the challenges and the difficulties, but he makes a choice to fix his mind back on who God is and what he's done. And I want to encourage us to have that same mentality where we make a decision that no matter how tired we are, no matter how difficult things have been for us, no matter how traumatic life may feel, we make a choice that we will fix our mind on who God is, and we'll remember his promises that he is our healer, that he is our source of strength, that he is our deliverer, that he is a God who is able, that he is almighty, that he is all powerful, that everything around us may seem overwhelming or like there is too much for us to to keep going up against. But God's armies surround us. God's angels surround us. He is on our side and He is with us. And He will keep strengthening us. And so I just want to keep encouraging you, because you know the devil is looking for our weak spots. So we need to ensure that we're clothed in the whole armour and that we're not leaving anything exposed. So that means we have to take a look in the mirror sometimes and check. We have to just have a check of our hearts, have a check of our minds. You know, sometimes we might think that we're doing a great job of spreading the gospel and a great job of being countercultural, but how are we speaking to people? Are we speaking with kindness? Are we speaking with love? How are we treating people? Just really basic things. You know, like, are we looking after each other? Because we can say that we're, you know, serving Jesus, but we have to think about all these things, how we're treating each other, you know. What are our thoughts towards each other? You know, are we trying to look beyond each other's faults and each other's failings too? Are we allowing bitterness to take hold? You know, have we let the devil find a weak spot and try and take us down with any bitterness or unforgiveness in our lives? So this is why we need to examine ourselves, check our hearts, our minds, check that we've got our armour on. And this is why our time with God is so important. You know, keep praying. If we have to get up an extra 10 minutes early in the morning, stay up an extra 10 minutes at night. You know, let's not leave a day where we don't spend that time with Jesus. And if you're having a crazy day and you only think, I have 2 minutes, or I'm just going to the ladies or the gents, you know, pray then. You can pray anywhere. Ask God to help you, because He wants to help us. The Word of God doesn't just help defend us. We use it to protect our minds. And it's a powerful weapon. Paul talked about the sword of the Spirit. The Romans, they used a short, double-edged sword called a gladius for defensive purposes and offensive purposes. And you know, with the Word of God, it's not just about the fact that we can use it to defend ourselves and to resist the devil, but we can actually break down his strongholds. The Word of God not only protects us, but we can destroy the enemy's work. The sword of the Spirit is powerful. With it, we can break down strongholds. Does that make anyone else excited this afternoon? That makes me incredibly excited that we can make a change. Even if you feel at the end of your rope, you can still make a change. And you've still got a lot of power behind you and on your side. You know, so just keep on going. The things of the enemy that can have a hold on our lives, on our friends' lives, in our city, can come tumbling down. We're not just resisting the devil's influence or schemes, but we're working to destroy his influence and schemes in the lives of others. Isn't that an exciting thought? That you can help someone else before the devil gets to them? Or, you know, before he takes them down as such, we can help other people around us against the devil's schemes. God's word is our indispensable weapon. So let's pray long and hard. The word says pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. It's so important, isn't it, that we keep our eyes open to the needs of others in our church, in our community, that, you know, if you see someone's had a bad day, go up to them, encourage them, say a kind word. We have a responsibility to look after each other, to care for one another in this fight, in this battle. We've got to keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So I want to ask us, and leave us with a little bit of a challenge, and I want to ask us, are we aware of what's happening around us? And are we keeping an eye on our brothers and sisters? Are we praying for each other? Have we noticed that maybe somebody is wounded and they need our help to get back up again? You know, maybe somebody's had a traumatic time or they've been really hurt, and we just need to encourage them and help pick them back up. Is someone feeling low? Is somebody struggling? Encourage them. Are we praying not just for ourselves, but for our Christians, fellow Christians in the fight? Is there somebody that you need to encourage? Is there someone that you just need to pop round and see and offer to pray with? Let's pray for one another and keep fighting. You know, church, we can't pray enough together. And I want to encourage you, if you can't make Spark, then keep praying for each other in the church. You know, join me sometimes on a Sunday morning before we start in here. Sometimes I'm in the back praying in that in the Methodist vestry. And if you want to get here a little earlier on a Sunday and pray with me, then I want to encourage you to do so, because I believe that God wants to do a great work in this place. And you know, I'm incredibly excited about the things ahead. You know, we've got Yorkshire Day on Thursday. There's Unashamed in October. And I believe that God can perform some great miracles in this place. But you know, even just the normal things that we might consider normal in this church, just looking after each other and saying some kind words can be such a powerful witness in the culture and in the society that we live in today. So I just want to encourage you to keep on fighting to the finish. So let's put on our helmet of salvation. Let's take hold of our thoughts, make a decision to renew our minds. Let's fix our attention on God. Let's pray together. Let's keep each other's spirits up. And also let's celebrate our rescue and be thankful. And we see King David doing that in many of the Psalms, where he's just thanking God. He's just thanking God that God's actually saved him and that God's actually with him. You know, let's keep a thankful heart. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Arrows may come from every side, but we can be strong in the Lord, and we must keep fighting against darkness until we take our dying breaths. There will be battles that we will have to fight, but don't give up. We've come too far from where we started from. I'm thinking of that great song. I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. So let's just pray. Lord God, help us to fight daily by filling our minds with your word. Help us to hear your voice above anything. Help us to stand firm, to make a choice, to daily put on our armor, and help us to encourage one another in the fight. Amen. And we're just going to take just 2 or 3 minutes now. Just going to ask the Holy Spirit to move. And for those of you who are weary and tired, I just believe that God wants to give you a touch now and just strengthen you and remind you to keep on fighting to the finish. Amen. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to move now. Thank you, Lord God, our source of strength. We will stand firm. Keep filling us with your joy, Lord God. We thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, you're our comforter, Lord. You guide us every step of the way. Help us navigate our way through this battlefield of life, Lord God, that we face.